I am terrified for the future of this democracy and democracy around the world.
I ran track while I was at Boston College, and I was always running the sprints. And my coach always told me, be focused on your race.
Hi again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we speak with a new candidate for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. And Vermont's congressman at large holds a forum after declaring his support for the impeachment of President Trump. On Thursday, Peter Welch announced he now supports impeachment. The Democrat then held a public forum at the Statehouse Monday evening to hear what Vermonters think. Most who commented agree with him. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley has more.
The forum with Vermont's at-large congressman was originally scheduled for 1 hour, but it ran nearly half an hour longer as people queued up to discuss several issues. A group of F-35 opponents expressed concerns about the basing of the jets in Vermont. There were also scattered questions about a potential war with Iran and the southern border detention centers. But the overwhelming focus of discussion was whether President Donald Trump should be impeached. Welch spent the first 10 minutes explaining his reasons for concluding that Trump should be impeached. He said the two most significant powers given to the House by the Constitution are to declare war and to impeach a president.
I have become increasingly alarmed. Our democracy, in its guardrails, its safeguards, our constitutional order, is in peril. Being there, you're shocked, day in and day out, that there's not that respect for the Constitution.
Most who spoke agreed, with some offering impassioned and emotional comments.
My name is Gianna. I was born and raised in Southeast Asia. I'm a resident of East Montpelier, and I'm a proud citizen of the United States of America. Thank you so much for your statement. This shouldn't be a question of politics. We need a leader that respects the dignity of all and strengthens rather than undermines our fragile institutions. I am terrified for the future of this democracy and democracy around the world. You have my full support.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sue Walbridge, Montpelier. I am a seventh generation Vermonter, lifelong Montpelier resident. I am a proud descendant of Vermont U.S. Representative and U.S. Senator Justin Smith Morrill, a Republican. I grew up knowing Republican Governor and U.S. Senator George D. Aiken. All these people were of great dignity. I believe they would be appalled of this Republican Party and Trump. President Trump has destroyed what our founding fathers created. I am for impeachment.
My name is Stephanie Fraser. I don't think it's just Trump. I think Pence needs to go too.
Others, like John Turner of Montpelier, appreciate the idea of impeachment, but are concerned about the potential for success.
I'm a white 73-year-old male who grew up on Long Island, and those are the only things I have in common with Donald Trump. The man needs to be voted out of office in November of 2020.
My name is Miriam Hansen, and I live in East Montpelier. It seems to me very dangerous to go into impeachment early, knowing the Senate will not impeach him and giving him the opportunity to play it.
I wrestled with that as well.
Only one person directly challenged Congressman Welch on his decision to support impeachment.
My name is Edward Giller, Jr. I'm from Berrytown. What are the high crimes and misdemeanors that you plan to submit in order to impeach President Trump?
Well, if you were here, you heard me.
Yeah, I have, but I haven't heard any crimes or high crimes or misdemeanors of any kind.
Well, you know that the Constitution does not define it.
Exactly. So that's why I'm asking, though, what do you plan to submit as the high crimes and misdemeanors? I mean, he's protecting the homeland. I still would like to know what you plan to submit.
Roughly 90 House Democrats now support impeachment. Audio from the Statehouse Forum is courtesy of Orca Media in Montpelier. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Well, a second candidate has kicked off a primary campaign against Massachusetts U.S. Senator Ed Markey, who is seeking re-election in 2020. Steve Pemberton, a self-described former foster child turned successful executive and author, kicked off his campaign Tuesday in his hometown of New Bedford. Shannon Liss Reardon is also running in hopes of unseating Markey, who's been in Congress for more than 40 years. I spoke with Steve Pemberton Tuesday morning.
I grew up in another part of the Commonwealth, on the South Coast, in a community called New Bedford, where I grew up in foster care. I would lose my mother to addiction and my father to gun violence, and all of a sudden I am thrust into a system well-intentioned but was really struggling to determine what to do with me, you know, biracial foster child with a lot of challenges that I had inherited. I wasn't aware of them at the time, but fortunately, because of the kindness and goodness of kind of everyday citizens, I managed to chart a new path that would bring me out of foster care and to Boston College. And those things were so critically important to me, Ian. But it was not. It was in both in New Bedford and in the citizens here, and in the Commonwealth. I mean, to grow up here, you understand firsthand the importance of service. I got those messages early on, and they were cemented for me during my time at Boston College. In running for the United States Senate, I see that as a continuation of one what has always been my historical focus on equality and access and opportunity. It reflects my personal experience, but also my professional journey. And lastly, particularly in a time when we see so many avenues of access and opportunity being restricted, in a lot of cases purposefully so, it's a perfect time for me, who comes from a lived experience, to run for the United States Senate.
You haven't held elective office before. Why are you qualified to be in the Senate?
No, I've not held elected office before. And based on what I see unfolding in Washington by so many who are elected, I'm not necessarily convinced that in and of itself is a qualifier. I think coming from a different set of life experiences, but having spent times dealing with systems and structures and specifically focused on how they can better people's lives, is going to give me a different perspective and a different approach.
Okay, what specifically has the incumbent, Ed Markey, who you'd be running against in this primary, done wrong in your estimation in his time in the Senate?
Ian, I don't see this as a race against Ed Markey. I think we can hold both thoughts, that we can honor and respect his commitment and his legacy, and at the same time suggest, particularly here in Massachusetts, where we've often heard the common refrain that it is time to pass the torch and bring it forward to a new generation with a new set of experiences and perspectives. In a representative democracy, those who are elected to an office, they are not life terms. And so, you know, every cycle we, the voters in particular, have an opportunity to make a decision. You know, it's my intention to be a respecter of Mr. Markey and his legacy, but at the same time be urgent about the issues that I think are adversely impacting so many in our Commonwealth.
Okay, let me try out an argument for you. The Democrats want to take back the Senate, and if you as a Democrat are primarying an incumbent Democrat, it might make it harder to hold that seat down the line. What do you say to that?
What I say to that, Ian, is you do what most Americans do. You can accomplish multiple goals and multiple objectives. And to be candid, that sounds eerily similar to the not your time, not your turn. Our focus has to be elsewhere. We can accomplish both things. You know, in a party, Democratic Party, that stands for creating avenues of opportunities for new generations, along not just new generations, but new perspectives that come from different ethnic backgrounds and come and represent a gender experience, you know, as well. We can both do that and focus our attention and effort on reclaiming the Senate.
There's another candidate who's declared in this race already, Shannon Liss Reardon. What distinguishes you from her in this potential primary field?
You know, Ian, I ran track while I was at Boston College, and I was always running the sprints. And my coach always told me Be focused on your race. Run your race, not watching someone else's. It's my intention to talk about what matters most to the voters of the Commonwealth. What are the issues that they're wrestling with? And then the voters ultimately will answer that question that you've asked.
Okay, let me drill down into a few issues with you, if I may. What do you see as the top way to go forward in terms of health care? Do you favor Medicare for all? Do you favor expanding the ACA? What's your vision?
Well, let's begin in the first place, in the fundamental place, that access to health care is a fundamental, basic human right. Many years ago when I set about the process of learning what had happened to my family, what were the situations and circumstances that landed me in foster care, it was over this very issue that my grandmother, Mary Cabral, would die of heart disease at the age of 40, something that had gone undetected. You fast forward almost 60 years later, and the Pemberton family still feels the effects of her loss. She was a young mother and one of 13 children. Now, what that ultimately, from a policy standpoint, what that means is always subject to an evaluation and a consideration process. But fundamentally, it is a basic human right, and we have to see how we can expand healthcare availability for all. In large part, Ian, specifically because of the social impact that it is having.
Okay, so how would you do it?
Well, one of the first things I'm going to do is use my mouth and ears in the proportion that they were given to me. At this very early stage, I want to spend time listening to both those in the Commonwealth, those on the front lines of providing care, and hear their perspectives, their opinions, before I reach down into the detailed policies and ways in which I would implement it.
Okay, what about a woman's right to choose an abortion?
That is always between the woman and her doctor. So I'm going to be and have been a long-standing supporter of a woman's right to choose.
Let's talk about the president. Do you favor, if you were in the Senate today, a yes vote on impeaching President Trump?
I do. He is not only unfit for office, but uniquely so in American history. This is an individual who's not humbled by the office. He seems to wake up every day trying to figure out who he can hurt and harm and divide rather than who he can heal and who he can help and who he can connect. As the process unfolds relative to impeachment, the role of a United States senator is to serve as the jury. And if it is found that he has indeed broke the law, we are a nation of laws and not of men. And so to suggest that he should not be held accountable for laws that he has broken flies in the face of our democracy.
What do you say to the argument that, he's probably deserving of impeachment, but there's an election coming up and might as well just let that play out?
Well, that mindset says to me that we are therefore a nation of men and not of laws, because in that thought process, we're saying for what appears to be an election, we're not going to hold him accountable. But that's not the way that our democracy works. It's not why it has endured for as long as it has. Is we don't get to slide the scales of who the law applies to. And I'd argue because he is a president of the United States and occupies that, the highest office in the land, he in particular should be held accountable. But again, if you turn back to the, what are the things that everyday citizens do? You can do more than one thing. You can both hold him accountable and seek to return the White House to the Democratic Party in 2020.
Who do you like in the presidential primary field as of now?
I, like most voters, am still looking at all of the candidates. As you know, there are a lot of them. So I'm just as everyone else is curious about their interest, their policies on specific things, but particularly on the areas that so impacted me as a citizen.
Do you consider yourself a socialist Democrat?
I don't live in the land of labels. I know how damaging and destructive they can actually be. So I'm not going to locate myself on any spectrum. That's for others to decide. I'm just going to tell you what I stand for, what matters, and it's specifically around getting a chance in the world. That phrase was used to describe what my life journey was going to be, not a chance. So if there are the experts and pundits who assign labels to that, well, those are discussions for them to have, not for me.
Who did you vote for in the 2016 election, in the primary and the general?
Presidential?
Yeah.
So that was Hillary Clinton in both instances.
Moving on now, I think a lot of our listeners will wonder what you know about Western Massachusetts, what you'd like to see for that region. And oftentimes we hear from the representatives of Berkshire County and other counties to the west that they feel forgotten by Boston and Beacon Hill. So what's your vision for that half of the state?
Ian, growing up in a community like New Bedford on the other side of the state that has felt the same kind of and has had the same kind of feeling too. Existing in the world beyond Boston, and I just know and feel that sentiment. And so I think what you have to do is exactly what I intend to do. You have to spend time in that part of the state, because the issues are not exactly the same. Now, there are some common threads, particularly with communities like New Bedford that have lost manufacturing bases and whose citizens are seeking their own chance, their own ways forward. So, but I think the more time that you spend, I've traveled there often over the years. My first job was as an admissions counselor for what was then Southeastern Massachusetts University, now UMass Dartmouth. And so I always, my territory was the western part of the state. So I spent a lot of time in the counties there. But that was some time ago. So now, and then particularly in the context of running as a United States Senator, you have to go back. You have to spend the time. You have to listen and learn. And you have to be accessible, not just in times of convenience.
The last thing I want to cover with you before we run out of time here is your approach to fundraising. Will you take corporate PAC money? Do you have any rules you've set for yourself about from whom you will take money?
I have. And I will not be taking PAC money. There are 351 towns and communities across the Commonwealth, and it's my every intention to get to every single one of them and to make my case for why and in what way, I should be worthy of their support. But I'm going to be very firm and unapologetic in my stance and unwillingness to take PAC money.
Steve Pemberton is running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts, and he's hoping to get into the Democratic primary field. That would also include Senator Ed Markey and Shannon Liss Reardon. Steve, thank you for your time, and let's keep the conversation going.
That we will, Ian. Thank you. Have a great week.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. And until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.